I'm Adam.
And I'm Matt.
Welcome to The Dad Experience, a podcast where dads can connect and openly share stories. Welcome back on this summer, June, it might come out in July, edition of The Dad Experience, here recorded live in our infamous basement studio. Summertime is upon us, and things are cooking and shaking. So, Matt, what's been going on since, last time we talked over via Skype. So, this is the last time we've seen each other has been since before
Eleanor's surgery.
Yeah, right. So, what's been going on with you since then, now that we're in the flesh here together?
One thing I've noticed is that it's much calmer in the house today now that Eleanor's back and everything went well. So, congrats on that.
Thank you. Yes, it's much calmer here. It's much more laid back.
This is officially day two of summer break for me, and it already feels like it's going to be a long summer.
Yeah.
It's nothing bad. You know, I have nothing to complain about. It's just active, like so active.
Okay.
My daughters, especially my oldest, is just whatever she has an idea, she acts on, which is super cool. But none of those ideas involve, you know, let's catch her breath.
Always want to go.
Yeah, it's projects. It's I want to make a book. And if I try to put on like a cooking show or something to kind of calm, she'd be like, oh, let's cook. I want to make that.
So it's just overload right now. You think that'll mellow out as the summer? No.
No.
No, was this different from years past, or is this just
No,
how
that's
it is?
Her personality.
Good.
Yeah. I put on a documentary about humpback whales, and she goes, I want to make a nature book.
Nice. So, hey, you know what, though? There's other things
there's
that
worse
they could
things.
Be doing
yeah.
At any age that, you know, that's not as interesting or as engaging as stuff like that. So that's not the end of the world. Have you guys gone and done anything exciting, like gone out and done any adventures yet?
Yeah, we've gone to Greenfield. We went to Greenfield Village yesterday.
Nice.
And it's first time for the season. And then we had her friend over today. And then we've also been going to the school to water the garden.
Oh, yeah, that's right, the garden.
Gotta keep that alive.
Have you harvested more things from there or no?
I staked the tomato plants so they don't fall over. So things are growing. Things are getting bigger.
Nice.
It was cool.
Nice. So nothing is dying as of yet to any major extent.
No. There's a few things that aren't getting bigger, but nothing's died.
That's good. That's good. So that's pretty awesome. Yeah, no, I love going doing those events, and I can't wait till my daughter's a little bit older and can get out and do some more of those things. I think we're going to take our first trip to the zoo here very, very soon. So we've been members of the zoo here and where we're at and for the last few years, and been excited to take our little one with us there. So that's something that I'm looking forward to.
That's cool.
If there's something that you couldn't live without during this summertime as a parent, as a dad, as a mom or dad, because I don't know, I think the more that Matt and I are learning about our podcast here, we're getting more female listeners, which is awesome, because I think we want to cater to both, you know, male and female. I just kind of started as the dad experience, and I guess it's evolving, and I think that's what we want it to do. But as a parent, is there something you can't live without or can't go without doing in the summertime that's been like, we have to do it as a family all the time because it's been great?
Probably ice cream.
Ice cream. You know, I was just thought of that in my head. As soon as I said it, I'm like, you know, it's probably going to be ice cream.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
No, that's cool, though. I mean, I remember ice cream when I was a kid. You know what I mean? Like, that is something that's exciting.
I'll go to Greenfield Village with them a few times in the summer. I could do without the zoo. I'm one of those grumpy people. I don't like the zoo.
When was the last time
like
you were there?
It's, I just chaperoned a field trip like 2 weeks
so
ago.
So then you have a ground to stand on.
Yeah, but I just feel like it's always way too crowded. It's usually always too hot, and there's no animals out.
Interesting.
But that's in the summer, you know.
That's where we go, but I have maybe had an opposite experience, or maybe it's the times that I go. I mean, I guess that's all it
is. My daughter's all about the reptile house, and I could do without that.
See, I don't go on that one. Yeah, that's one we don't do. You've done the penguin exhibit here. We're in the Michigan area.
I
for
mean,
those of you guys that aren't from Michigan, we just had a new reptile house, or not reptile house. You got me on reptiles now.
Right, the penguin house.
The penguin house. It's brand new here, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, it's just overwhelming because everybody has their wagon and their big coolers. And I just have a little bag and a bottle of water, and it always makes me second guess my decisions. And there's always bees. I feel like there's bees everywhere.
Have the kids ever been dehydrated when you've gone?
No.
Anybody got sick?
No.
Why are you second guessing yourself?
It's just, I don't know.
Seriously,
I don't like the zoo. That's
but don't second guess yourself. Nothing major has happened, right? Nobody climbed in the chimpanzee cage, right?
Not yet.
We're good. Well, you know, then you're winning. Mm-hmm. From my standpoint, you're winning. Cool.
Yeah. Awesome. So summertime necessity is ice cream. That's it.
Yeah. Well, then I'm going to have to start hitting that up when mm-hmm. we can take Miss Eleanor to the ice cream parlor. So, but yeah, I'm excited about summer. Like you said earlier, we've been much more chill and it's been more enjoyable of a summer. You know, everything kind of happened at a front in the last couple episodes. I kind of transitioned to a new job and Eleanor surgery. And then now it's kind of the lull, even though there's still some things going on. She's doing great. Continue to do great. Continue to surprise us. We're going to hopefully get the all clear that she'll be able to begin swimming in a pool and start to be able to go out and do things. We're going to finally get to go and visit my brother and sister-in-law and my nieces down. They moved to Ohio. I think we've talked about that in the past, but they moved to Ohio, so we're going to get to go this weekend for kind of a longer weekend and visit them. My nieces, you know, they both adore my daughter, which is super cool to see, and see that kind of that bond already starting to form between those three cousins is really special. So we're really excited to get her out into the world and experience the world. It's going to be interesting to see how that happens, because we've been so, you know, closed up for a long time with her. We can't go places and do things because of health issues. It'll be interesting to see now when she gets exposed to the world how that transition is going to go. But I think it's going to go great, and we're looking forward to it.
Cool.
All right, so today we have a very, very special guest with us. First time we are actually, Matt and I are branching out to a little bit outside of our network and what we have been a little different from what we've been doing before. And as most of you know, last week we kind of tested out our Skype call. So this week is our official Skype call. Today we have a very special guest, Brian Vondruska, and he is a founder and author of the KindOfParentYouAre.com, a parenting website. It's a website to help parents help their children and themselves. A little bit about Brian is he found that as he became a parent, there wasn't a whole lot out there to help him grow as a parent. So he created resources for parents to help others along in the parenting journey. Brian also has an upcoming book that's coming out very soon, The Optimal Life Experience. So welcome, Brian, and thanks for joining us, and thanks for reaching out to the Dad Experience.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we appreciate it. We really do.
So let's start at the beginning, and why don't you give us a little bit of how your family is set up and how you came to write The Kind of Parent You Are and develop the website?
Well, we're a family of four. I have a wife who is at home right now. We were both working for quite a while, and recently she decided to be a stay-at-home mom. So she's enjoying that for the summer, and the kids are enjoying that. There's two children. We have a 9-year-old son and a 6-year-old daughter.
Okay.
Nice. So when you started the website and started the books, or you've had two books out, and with your books, what drove you? We talked a little bit about it, that there wasn't a whole lot of resources out there, but we'll kind of give us a little bit of the background as to what drove you to start putting out this information for folks.
Sure. And it's all in the future. So depending on when you're listening, it's June 27th today, 2017. So
right.
The website, thekindofparentyouare.com, is going to be launching next month.
Okay.
And the books are coming out later as well. So I'll talk about that.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do that.
But a lot of the material that I'm putting together is stuff that I wish I had when I became a parent. Mm-hmm. I was committed to being the best dad I could be. So I got all the books and I did all the research, and I found that I struggled to make sense of a lot of it, because a lot of the advice was conflicting. Maybe you're finding the same thing.
Yeah.
Depending on what you're doing, you Google things, you look for what's out there, and you find advice on either side of it.
Yeah.
You know, do I want my child to follow instructions, or do I want them to think for themselves? And, you know, there's good advice on either side, and how do you work through it all? So what I tried to do was look for the why. Whenever there's resources, whether it's a book, an article, a website, there's usually reasons given for why a particular piece of advice is given. But I found it was pretty superficial. There wasn't very good reasons for why you would do a certain thing. Why would I want my child to think for himself? Because it helps him learn. Okay, but then you can ask why again, and then you can ask why again. And the more you ask, the harder it gets, but you really get to the bottom of it. And if you could have an irreducible why, something that tied everything together, then that would be something that you could build everything towards and align everything underneath. And that's what I was looking for, a reason to do things so that I would know whether a certain piece of advice was something that I would adopt or whether it was something that I would disregard. And so to really get there, which I couldn't find, but to really get there, I still needed another piece. I needed to figure out what I was trying to do because, you know, that main reason had to be compatible with what I really believed. So I had to figure out what kind of parent I wanted to be. And after a lot of introspection, I decided I wanted to enable my children to live to their full potential, and not just as children, but over the course of their lives, and not just for themselves, but for others too. And that's very simple. There's nothing complicated about that, but it's powerful because I can link everything else back to it. And I, even in situations where I don't know what I'm doing, I can figure out what I'm doing because I know why I'm trying to do it.
Right. It is very simple, but like you said, very powerful.
Right. And what I think is really important and powerful from a few things that you just said is, you know, you took what you did. And if you know, a lot of people come out with the, and I don't know if you've run into it, and I don't know, Matt, if you've run into it, but you go on to a lot. If you do Google search or listen to another podcast or read an article from a different magazine, I don't know that always those people that are writing or doing those things are necessarily vested and believe in what they've done. Some, you know, I'm not going to say all of them, probably most of them do, but I really feel that, like, if you know, you've taken and invested into what you do and you really stand behind what you've done, and then now I've gone back and kind of put it out there as what worked and what didn't work. And I don't know that always happens in the things that we research all the time online or wherever we're getting our information from. So I feel like that's really important.
Yeah, I think you really have to check your sources and you have to cross-reference it with other things and make sure what you're reading is right and what you really believe. Right. But I did have some problems with my approach. You know, one of them is I'm trying to fulfill human potential. What does that mean? And what's the path to take to get there? And how can parents influence that? So I got some answers, but I really got more questions. And when I tried to find the answer to those questions, there were no answers. That's not something that people know and have answers to. So I had to make the answers. And it's kind of a long answer to your question is tell me about how you got to write the books. The first book, The Optimal Life Experience, is coming out in September. Okay. And that's not a parenting book, but that answers the questions, what does it mean to live the best possible life and how do you do it? The second book is The Kind of Parent You Are, and that's not coming out till February of next year. Okay. But that answers the question, how can the parent influence that? And it focuses a lot on the development of the parent. And that's something that I also felt was missing a lot in today's parenting landscape. There's a lot about the child's behavior, but there's not enough about the parent. And it's a big life change. And you guys know that because you're a bit new to it.
Right.
A lot of things are changing all at once. And if you don't change with it and continue to develop, it's going to be hard to do that later. And it's going to be hard to help your child develop optimally if you're not developing yourself.
Right. Right. So tell us a little bit more about, you know, I've looked through some of the stuff that you kind of sent Matt and I kind of in advance. Tell us a little bit about, you know, I followed a little bit on the best person, and we got a lot of information that focuses, we get a lot of information that focuses around children. So why isn't there more info for parents out there? Why do you think there isn't more info for our parents out there, really?
Well, I wish there was, and I'm trying to make it so that there is. It's as if society has assumed that once we assume the role as parent, we're ready for it. And we really have to make ourselves ready for it. We don't just get there, because it's really an identity change. It's a new phase of your life when you become a parent, and it's when you start to realize what you do has implications beyond yourself and is going to matter long after you're gone. There's psychological changes associated with that. There's biological changes for the moms. There's social shifts taking place. You don't see your group of friends as much anymore. Maybe your career path is changing. There's all these different things happening at once. And, you know, for a lot of people, it's a genuine crisis. For those people, there's professional help that they do and should seek. For the rest of us, it may not be that debilitating, but it's still, you know, maybe a series of mini crises. And with the right mindset, with the right support and tools, the transformation can be doable, and it can even be enriching. You can find yourself making yourself into somebody better than you were.
Right. Now, was there something specific that happened with your children that made you think about this specifically, or was it just when your wife was pregnant and, you know, they were infants, these were just, you know, in your head, or was there a specific incident?
Well, I suppose I didn't really start writing until they were a couple years old, or till my son, my oldest, was a couple years old, and I started writing a letter, because I wanted my kids, my daughter wasn't, I don't think she was born quite yet, but I wanted to just give them a head start for when they were about to become parents, and write a letter on things that I've learned and what I can pass on to them. And like I mentioned before, I kind of got more questions every time I found answers. So it turned out I had a lot more to say than I thought I did.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, you know, taking it from a father's standpoint or a dad's standpoint, because, you know, we try and reach out to that crowd a lot on here, which we don't. We have a lot of female listeners, actually, we've come to find out in recent days. But from a dad's experience or dad's perspective, what do you... You know, I know personally, I got a couple books before my wife had our daughter, and most of it was kind of like Matt and I have talked about in the past, where it's very much humorous, keep you entertained, don't put the book down. And, you know, what's your take on that whole thing? How do we get past that? How do we start reaching out to folks and, you know, mainly the dads out there to look past and be able to be in touch with these different things and be more hands-on? Because, you know, as an educator, I don't always see, a lot of times, always see the males hands-on. Not to say that doesn't happen, but, you know, how do we encourage this more?
Well, I do think that's changing. I see a lot more of it now than I used to. And, I'm sure you guys see it as well. There's a lot of dad focused websites and podcasts and so forth. And I think that's great. The biggest thing I think we can do is really just do it. You know, when you're out, you know, be the one to pick up the baby when she's crying in the restaurant and take her outside to talk to her, and be the one to change the child and so forth. Mm-hmm. I don't know that you really need to formally teach people, although what you guys are doing is great and keep it up. The biggest thing I think though is to do it.
Yeah. Get involved.
Lead by example.
Right.
Yeah. And just, I guess, demonstrate, and, you know, that's it. I think, you know, it's great about what you've got going on, what we've got, you know, on our end of what I think we believe in too, is just like share what we're doing and know that it's, you know, it's all right that this should be happening, because we want to all develop, which kind of, I guess, leads into what my next question is. So when we take all of that, how does that affect us as parents individually and in our lives? When we get more, you know, more involved and more hands-on and, you know, becoming more of the best person that you know, that you describe.
Well, it's all very enriching from a couple different standpoints. For one, when you're involved, you're building a relationship with your child, which is something that just keeps getting better and better as they get older. So it seems like in the moment sometimes I don't have time to brush these little teeth. It's really hard for me to stay patient in this moment. But those are the things that really matter and make a difference in the relationship with the child, in the whole atmosphere of the house, and really who you are. Because when you can keep your patience in those moments, when you can stay determined on a task in the home, you find that it translates outside the home, and you carry those behaviors with you in other facets of your life, and they become a part of you. And you look back and you see that you're not the same as who you were, and it's better.
That makes sense. And as simple as that is, it can be very difficult. You know, like you say, the teeth brushing, that's one of the jobs that drives me nuts, because it's always at the end of the day where they're the most tired and the most unpredictable. And sometimes brushing teeth is super fun. Other times it's like pulling their teeth. And same thing in the morning before school, you know, a similar situation.
Yeah, I was amazed at how many different ways they could thwart my attempts to help them brush. I mean, they can get really creative. And like you said, it's the end of the day when you're ready to get some rest, or it's early in the morning when you have somewhere you need to be and you don't have the extra minute. And those are the most challenging moments, but that's what can make them the best moments, too.
So they're the biggest payoff.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. Even now for me, I'm not in that situation yet, but just the little things and the little milestones that you see, it's super important. And, you know, there's days that I've let those go by, and I'm just kind of saying this out there about me. Like even today, I was watching my daughter, my wife and my mother-in-law went out and did some different things today. And I was watching her, and I was like, they came back, and I go, I don't know if I paid enough attention to her today, you know, and it's just a little things like, cause she may have went to one side of the room and I didn't go and interact as much as maybe I felt like I should, even though I probably did. It's interesting that after the fact you look back and go, wow, those things do mean a lot. And you know, even though she's that small, it means a lot to her. And right. And maybe it's even more obvious with her, because when I don't do those interactions, what do you get? You get cranky, you get crying. So those little things are important, you know, like they're super important.
Absolutely. And, you know, it doesn't really change. You don't get it perfect. You can keep getting better, but you're going to find yourself, you know, always questioning, gee, if I was there for that situation, things would have been better. But the fact that you're thinking about that, I mean, that just points to you're headed in the right direction, because not everybody thinks about that. And if you want to get better, you will, but things evolve. The situations change, the children's interests and abilities change, and what you're doing is going to be different a few years down the road. And it's always challenging. It's never easy. But again, that's part of the fun.
Right. Right. Right.
Now, what are some good ways to help children learn about their feelings?
Well, really, the best start, I think, is naming a feeling. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily have to be theirs. You can start with yours. I feel really frustrated right now, and I'm going to need to take a rest. And that does a few things. It tells them that these things are normal. They have they have names, so they're not alien. Even though they may be scary to a child in the moment who doesn't know how to manage them. Mm-hmm. And you can help the child name his or her own feelings too. You seem surprised. Is that how you feel? And the child may respond that he or she does. And then you can build upon that. Well, I thought so, because there's a lot of things that go along with feelings. There's behavior changes, there's facial expressions, there's physiological changes. So you can say, well, you jumped up and your eyebrows arched and your eyes got really wide, and that's why I thought you were surprised. Did you feel your muscles tighten too? And again, this just it normalizes what's happening, so that they learn how to manage the feelings, the ups and the downs. And it also gives you a chance to spend the time strengthening the bond between you, because you're sharing this powerful, maybe scary moment by talking about the particulars with the child.
Mm-hmm. Right, totally. And, you know, I guess to kind of follow up with that, you have a daughter and a son. Have you changed any of your, you know, I don't know if you've listened back to any of our other episodes, but we did a whole thing on, you know, kind of the masculinity and letting down our guard. And did you change anything as far as like emotions, like we've talked about and how to express emotions and feelings? Did you change anything between the two? Were they very similar? Do you handle the situations similarly with both male and female, or is it different? You know, and like I said, nothing, there's no right or wrong answer. I'm just curious, you know, for my sake. And, you know, I think Matt too, as we grow as parents as well.
No, I made it pretty, I was pretty insistent that I wanted to treat them both the same way. And I was never really a tough guy to begin with. So it was easy for me to talk about emotions and feelings mm-hmm. and things with my son. And so by the time my daughter came around 3 years later, it was pretty natural. So, I think that I treat both of them the same way. Maybe mm-hmm. we should ask a third party, but I'm gonna claim that I do it the same.
Well, from what the sounds of it, I'm sure you do. I just, you know, that's what I figured. But I was just curious as to what your take on that was, because, you know, Matt and I are firm believers. There's two, I think, and similar to what you've kind of already stated, is it's important for us, especially as males, to be able to be seen as, you know, letting our guard down and showing emotion as well. And, you know, that's super important. I think I know Matt and I both feel strongly about that.
Yeah, I do too. I guess the part to guard maybe is, you know, with daughters, maybe dads have a tendency to melt a bit when daughter gets upset. Mm-hmm. And so it's obviously still okay to talk about feelings, but, I mean, not all behaviors are okay. So
right.
if there's crying, it's not okay to just let the behaviors that are being attached to that in the right. moment go, because, oh, poor thing, right?
Right.
So that may be the tricky part.
Yeah, and it's always going to be, obviously, like you said, kind of case by case, because there could be crying there, and it could be because of an action that, you know, whatever happened before may have put them in that state where it's not necessarily, oh, well, we got to settle down. It might be something more serious, or it might be something totally different. But, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Now, with your 9-year-old and 6-year-old, I'm assuming one or both of those have kind of had some tantrum situations over the years.
Oh, not a whole lot, but there's definitely some. I thought they did pretty good with those, but all children go through at least a phase where those are somewhat common.
And I'm assuming the how you described the talking about feelings was helpful in those situations, or how?
Well, not at first. They kind of go through a transition, generally tantrums, and I wish I could source this because I don't remember where this is from right now in the moment, but they typically start off with a lot of anger and they build up, and there comes a point where the anger transitions to sadness. And when that happens, that's when the child will be ready for that kind of discussion. But while they're angry and when that's building up, you'll really be throwing gas on the fire if you start down that path, because they're just not ready.
Right. That's what I found with my oldest. She would like change. It was like an out of body experience. She changed into like this beast. And, I mean, talk about testing your patience. You know, it's like the rational mind is telling you to do one thing, but you have this physical reaction to this anger that's being directed at you. And then she would like break and she'd cry in a, I need you to comfort me way. And then once she was calmed down, then we could talk about those feelings or the behavior that was attached to those feelings. But like you said, in the moment, it was just crazy.
Yeah, that's some great points. I mean, emotions are pretty contagious. So even though you're the adult and you feel like maybe you ought to be able to be calm, it's really hard to do because you're feeding off that energy. And then something else that plays into it, at least for me, maybe you can tell me if this is different for you or not. But when you're in the middle of one of those, it feels like it's never going to end. And you just can't imagine any scenario where this will not continue forever. And so it makes it real hard to step back and realize that, you know, in 15 minutes, life's going to look different. But in the moment, it just feels like it's always going to be there.
Yeah, it does. They feel super long. Yeah, and it would make me extra frustrated because I knew I couldn't control it, even though I wanted to. And you just have to wait it out. But, you know, you have this such physical response. I remember my pulse would quicken, you know, my blood pressure's up, I'm breathing heavy, and I'm just trying so hard to stay quiet to let her emote, you know, and it's so difficult.
It's very hard because they pick up on that too. It's, you know, your eyebrows might be pushed down, your jaw is clenched, and even though you're calm, I think they know. They can read those subtle signs, and it's really difficult to remain calm on the outside when you're really hot on the inside.
Right. You know, I had a curious question. It's still within our realm here, but kind of moves away. Can you tell us a little bit about your background, and then, you know, I'm kind of curious after that. What you know, we talked about becoming a parent and putting it down into words because there wasn't out there. But what made you change your thought of, okay, I'm writing a letter to my parents and how I, or not my parents, my children, of how they can become better parents when they're older? What flipped the switch to say, wow, I want to get this out to the public? You got great stuff here. It's real exciting stuff. But what made you, you know, you kind of flip the switch and go, I don't want to just share this with my kids anymore. I want to share it with everybody. What kind of was that driving factor behind that?
I think that happened pretty slowly because it grew pretty slowly. I'm a slow writer. I think a lot of folks might write, I don't know, a couple pages a day. I'm more likely to write on average a paragraph a day. So the two books are going to come out pretty soon, one after the other, but they took about 6 years to write.
Okay.
So things happened pretty slowly.
Okay.
But there was a point, and I can't really pinpoint it. I think it happened gradually, where there's enough here. These kids aren't going to see it for who knows, you know, how many mm-hmm. years, maybe 20 years. And I think it can help people. So I'd like to get it out there. I wish I had a watershed moment and I can tell you about it. But there really wasn't.
Right. Well, no, it's great. I was just curious out of my, you know, just being curious out of everything that you've got. You're obviously very, very knowledgeable in everything that you've shared with us today. So, you know, a couple more questions that I have. One is, when they do come out, where specifically can our listeners go to get a little more information, you know, or get your information in more detail in your books? Where can they go exactly to get these books when they do come out?
They can go to Amazon to get the books, and they're going to be available other places as well.
Okay.
My website, thekindofparentyouare.com, is going to be up in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to articles and videos, I'm going to have a book page. So it'll have descriptions of the books, what's in there. It'll link to Amazon. I'm not going to make it hard for people to find the books.
Right.
But I think my website will be the main place.
Yeah.
And will these be print books or ebooks or both?
They're going to be both.
Great.
Great. That's great. A lot of times now I think we run into not a lot of paper books coming out, and that's a great thing because I know there's a lot of people that would rather have that. So that's an awesome thing to hear because it isn't happening all the time anymore. So if you can give us kind of maybe a little bit, you know, a quick summary, at the end here of what can the listeners kind of expect, when they maybe a little bit from both books or one or the other, you know, either one you want that you kind of want to just leave them with to kind of let them know what they're going to expect when the book does come out.
Okay. Well, the first one, I'll try to be really, really concise so that, if you only remember one thing about the optimal life experience, it'll help you understand how people work. Mm-hmm. The kind of parent you are will help you apply that to children's development and help you understand yourself. So I'll expand a little bit on those very short descriptions. The optimal life experience is the theory, and the kind of parent you are is the practice. So if you just get the first book, you can work that into your parenting style, but the book won't tell you how. The second book will. It will give the specific guidance. So together, both books give you a broad foundation and the specific guidance. And as a reader of books, that's what I felt was always missing. Today, you typically get like a narrow focus on a specific problem that this parenting book is going to help you solve, but there's not a broad foundation upon which it rests. So the book may not be applicable in a different culture or in 20 years or in 50 or 100 years. And I kind of wanted my books to be applicable well into the future.
Mm-hmm.
The other kind of book where you learn about human beings in general might offer vague notions on how to live, but there's not a lot of clear direction for how to apply it. And I wanted to have both. So together, both of those books do that. They give you the foundation and the specific guidance. But you wouldn't have to read both. If you wanted just the parenting stuff, the key points from the Optimal Life Experience is going to be summarized in the first chapter of The Kind of Parent You Are. So if you don't like theory, you wouldn't have to suffer through a theory book.
Well, it's really exciting to hear about that. And we're really excited. I know I'm excited to read more on it and trying to put some of these techniques into use in my parenting. And we really, really appreciate you coming on with us today. Is there anything last thing you want our listeners that they absolutely have to know that maybe Matt or I didn't ask you?
Oh, gosh, I think you guys asked great questions. And I was really happy to be on. I think you're doing a great show. And keep doing it, because I'm going to keep listening.
Well, great. You know, great. And
thank you.
And you can, like we said earlier, you can find Brian next month. His website's going to be launching, thekindofparentyouare.com. We will put that in our show notes so folks can kind of reference it, but it won't be up until the website won't be active until next month. Will they run into something that says, and I believe you do, but will they run into something saying it's coming soon? So when we put it up there, if they get there earlier, this comes up early, they'll know kind of when it's coming up or anything like that?
Yeah, there's a teaser page or a coming soon page there. Okay. Now, and they can put an email address in if they want to be notified when it awesome. When it comes up.
Well, great. Yeah, we'll definitely put that in our show notes, and we'll be looking for your books coming out this year and early next year. And we really, really appreciate you coming on, and we're really excited because you are actually our first guest, not within our home state. So thank you so much for reaching out to us, and you continue to do what you do, because we're going to be following right along with you on your stuff too. So we're really excited to do that, and thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Matt. It was great to be here.
Great. Thanks.
Thanks. So there you have it, folks. Very, very informative. Very, very lot of information that I know I'll be trying. And, I don't know about Matt, but I know I'll be trying out. So thank you so much for being here. As always, you know where to find us. Follow us on Twitter. If you have any sort of feedback or anything, send us an email, experienceanddad@gmail.com. Thanks so much for being here. Matt's been doing a lot with his blog, so be sure to check out what he's got going on there. And, just keep and stay in tune to what we've got going on. So thanks, Matt, for being here. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
And I look forward to doing this again here very, very, very soon.
Definitely.
See ya.